Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Breaking news. SBF comes out and says, I am broke in an interview with CNBC's Andrew Ross Sorkin. Let's go right to the story here. This it gets crazier by the day, doesn't it? Broke and down to one credit card. Former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried claims he committed no fraud. So key talking points here. Former FTX CEO said he had a bad month. Yeah, that is the understatement of the year for sure. Bankman-Fried spoke at the Deal Book Summit weeks after the FTX filed bankruptcy and amid a cryptocurrency meltdown, which might not be over. We're going to do another story a little later on how an expert came out and he is predicting another 40% down in Bitcoin. More on that in a moment here. He also started Alameda Research, a crypto hedge fund, which allegedly commingled FTX customer funds with trading funds. They definitely commingled. SBF admits that, which is one of the things that he has admitted that I just can't believe. Even though he admitted it, I still have a hard time believing it as a former entrepreneur myself. And it's not like I became an entrepreneur when I was a little more mature or had a little more life experience. You know, I was doing this when I was in my 20s, just like SBF. And I can't, even when I was in my 20s, I can't even comprehend doing this one thing that he admitted to. I think we're going to get into that just here in a moment. So the former billionaire, another thing that I find fascinating is think about the emotions involved going from being worth, let's say, $10 billion down to basically zero within a matter of a month. And I get it. You say, oh, George, he deserves it, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't have sympathy. No, I get it. But for most of you on this live stream, thankfully, you don't know what it's like to go from being dirt poor to rich, right back to dirt poor again. I know that feeling. For those of you who know my backstory, that happened to me. It happened to me in 2009 when, I started and I wasn't given anything. I didn't get a loan from my parents. I didn't, I didn't have two nickels to rub together growing up. And in 2009, I was a self-made millionaire at 34. That would have been, oh boy, when was that? That would have been maybe 2006 or so, 2006 maybe. So anyway, self-made millionaire about 2006, living the high life. I mean, and I worked hard for it. I was working 60, 70 hours a week. I was never taking a day off. And I'm not just talking about Monday through Friday. Holidays, weekends, I worked nonstop. And I just made it happen. And it was a very good feeling to go from nothing to actually having something. And then in 2009, not as a result of the GFC, but as a result of getting into a battle with the attorney general in the good old state of Connecticut. I won't mention his name, but I will say he was the one that has such a strong character that he actually lied about being in the Vietnam War. So you can imagine what it was like to get into a battle with someone that just has absolutely zero moral North Star, has no ethical backbone whatsoever, would sell out his own grandmother, and is just the absolute dregs of our society. And this is when my eyes first opened up as to how crooked the politicians are and the mainstream media. But that's not the point. The point is I went from being, you know, very, very well to do and not having a concern, a financial concern in the world, to 2 or 3 months later, I was pretty much in SBF's position, except I didn't even have the credit card. I was broke. And fortunately, I was able to turn it around and make everything back and more by the time I actually retired in 2012. But that feeling, I can't describe the feeling. And I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. And this may, you guys might not agree with this, but I wouldn't even wish it on SBF. As far as that feeling, I mean, it's just, it's horrific. It's horrific. Now, I totally get it, George. You say, well, think about all the people that had money invested with him and lost everything, assuming, it's still allegedly, but assuming that he's a fraud. And I get it. I mean, I feel horrible for everyone involved here. There are no winners, right? But I guess what I'm, and maybe he does deserve it. I'm just saying that I've been there before. And as far as going from, you know, a very high position, going from broke, going to rich, going back to broke. And it is psychologically, it's just incredibly difficult to deal with. Anyway, getting back to the story here. So mid-November, after CoinDesk reported the irregularities on the company's balance sheet, FTX filed for bankruptcy. We know that. Bankman-Fried says, "I didn't ever try to commit fraud." Notice, I didn't ever try to commit fraud. He isn't saying that he didn't commit fraud. I think that's interesting. "I saw it as a thriving business and I was shocked by what happened." This is just so hard for me to believe. I mean, even in my little teeny businesses that I ran, and the biggest business I ever ran was only about 100 employees. But even the little ones, I mean, I was always just paranoid about going out of business. I could work so hard. And I was just obsessive over my QuickBooks report and the bank statement. And where's our cash position? And, you know, how much working capital do we have? What are our retained earnings look like? You know, what's our accounts payable? What's our accounts receivable? I mean, I was on it like a hawk because I was just so, I guess I was so scared of losing it all, which ironically I did, but not because a lack of oversight. Again, it was because of the battle with our war hero up in Connecticut. I just can't fathom not knowing exactly, or maybe not exactly, but just being shocked by, oh my gosh, what? I'm bankrupt? What? Huh? What do you mean I'm bankrupt? I thought I was fine. I get it. Maybe your accounting is off, or your projections are off. That would take your, let's say, the assets on your balance sheet, or that would take your retained earnings. You know, just putting it in simple terms, take it from $1 billion down to 950 million. Like I get that. I totally get that. But going from, let's just say, a cash position of $1 billion down to a cash position of zero and being insolvent, I just can't process that as a former entrepreneur myself. And another thing, what blows my mind here is when you look at some of the things that he admitted he did, I mean, my YouTube channel, for heaven's sakes, the accounting is more airtight than what Bankman-Fried did. I mean, it's like, holy cow. So that, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I can't, because there's just so many things that just make zero sense. And I think I can say that with a lot of confidence, because I was an entrepreneur in my 20s. I was an entrepreneur when I didn't know anything, when I had zero life experience. And I was just the complete opposite of this. And every entrepreneur that I have ever known was the complete opposite of this. We knew what we didn't know. And we knew that we were inexperienced. We knew we were naive. We knew we had a ton of talent. And we knew that we were going to be successful in the long run. But we worked our asses off. But we also understood the importance of bringing people in that had this life experience and this business experience to make sure that we weren't screwing things up. As I recall, let's say they've got some quotes in here from specific questions that Andrew Ross Sorkin asked him. He goes back and forth in explaining about, you know, the point in time when he realized that they had big, big problems. And this is when CoinDesk came out, right here. The time that this is SBF talking, excuse me. The time that I really knew there was a problem was November 6th, SBF said, after Alameda's sizable FTT position was exposed by CoinDesk. When we looked at it, we said there's a serious problem. It's like, dude, how could you not know that? Like, let's just assume for a moment that there was an arm's length distance between Alameda and FTX, which doesn't seem like there was, but let's just assume there for a moment there was. You issue these FTT tokens, and do you not know like where they're going or maybe who's buying them? Do you not know your counterparty, even though the transactions are occurring on your platform? I just find that hard to believe. And he says, Alameda had taken a huge hit. We were seeing a run on the bank start. I was nervous about Alameda's balance sheet when CoinDesk exposed it, but he didn't think there was any risk to FTX. He said, I wasn't running Alameda. But yeah, you weren't, Sam, but who did you put in charge of Alameda? You put in this little girl that has no experience whatsoever. I mean, she's basically a five-year-old in an adult's body going around to these Harry Potter parties dressed up as a wood nymph. I mean, dude, at some point, even if there is arm's length and you say, oh, it wasn't my responsibility, that was Alameda. Right, but that's a CEO that you put into place. You've at a certain level, you've got to take responsibility for that. I mean, it's obviously, I'm not even close to this scale here, but it's very similar to my assistant. You know, a lot of you guys have maybe met her at Rebel Capitalist Live, which, by the way, the tickets are on sale now at rebelcapitalistlive.com. but if she dropped the ball for something, you know, I could say, oh, well, that's her fault. Well, yeah, it is, but that's on me. I mean, I hired her. I hired her for that position. Hey, guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So Sorkin pressed Bankman-Fried on Alameda's gambling questioned cryptocurrencies, reading a letter out loud, investor who lost his life savings of $2 million. Again, this situation is just horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, even if it's found out that he didn't commit fraud, which I want to assume innocence until proven guilty, but my goodness gracious, it looks like, I don't see how there couldn't be some sort of activity that would be considered fraud here, but we'll have to see how this plays out. Then Sorkin asks him about doing drugs and whatnot. He says, no, this really doesn't surprise me. Whenever something like this comes up, you always get these National Enquirer type of allegations, right? I'm not saying he didn't, but if he said he didn't, I mean, I'm going to pretty much believe him there. I mean, just looking at the guy, he doesn't really seem like a party animal. and here's another thing that blows my mind. In 2019, he said 40% of FTX's trading volume was Alameda. 40%. I mean, that's not an arm's length distance. That's when one entity is pretty much propping up the other. And this would take me back to that podcast that he did when he was talking about the black box. I mean, it seems like that might have been the business model here. Then he says it was down to 2%, which led him to believe that FTX didn't have much exposure. Here is what completely blows my mind. I'm going to just put my highlighter thing over this so you guys can see it. Let me zoom in, because this is just, for me, it's the smoking gun. I just, again, in all my experience, even as a very, very young person, in the entrepreneurial game, I can't even fathom doing this. So, and let's pay very close attention to this, guys. Here's a quote. In 2018, FTX didn't have bank accounts. They didn't have bank accounts for an entity, a trading platform you just set up, and you were taking customer deposits. Bankman-Fried said as justification for why users were asked to wire funds to an account in Alameda's name instead of directly to FTX. Okay, let's stop right there. I can tell you guys from experience, whenever I have set up an LLC prior to doing business, the very first thing I do is set up a business account. That's number one. You set up the LLC, your corporate documents, whatever, you know, S corp, whatever you use, and you take that down to the bank. You sit down with someone at Wells Fargo or B of A or whatever. You say, "Here are my documents. I want to set up a business account." That's the very first thing you do before you open your door, before your website goes live, before you take customer funds, for heaven's sake. What you don't do, and what I didn't even do this when I was young and naive and completely immature. Actually, I'm still very, very immature, as you guys know, but I haven't lost that trait for sure. But back when I had zero business experience, I knew that, hey, if I'm starting another business entity, I'm not going to have customers send money to a bank account from a previous entity. Or else why have the two entities, right? That's the question. Just looking at this from a standpoint of common sense, the reason you have two entities is so if one has liability, that liability doesn't bleed over into the other one. You want the corporate veil or something like that. You want that set up to where you're saying that, yes, these two entities are completely separate, but you have to treat them that way. If you just come out and say that, hey, LLC XYZ is different than LLC ABC, but yet they share a bank account and you're just commingling funds, that then anyone in the right mind is going to say, no, this is just, you can't do that. You can't just say that they're two separate companies. You have to treat them as two completely separate entities. And the very at the very basic level, that means two separate bank accounts. And this is, I mean, I knew this running these little teeny businesses. I mean, if you asked a fifth grader that runs a couple lemonade stands, they probably have a separate LLC and a separate bank account for each lemonade stand, let alone a hedge fund that was taking in customer funds and a trading platform that was taking in customer funds or investor funds and then customer funds. And then just see, this is what is, again, completely unfathomable to me. And I can't see how anyone who, and obviously this guy's smart. He's not a dummy, for heaven's sakes. I can't imagine being this inexperienced or just having this little common sense. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Now, in the conclusion, this is one what I really wanted to discuss in this story, because to me, this is what's really shocking. But I think we need to understand how it works behind the scenes, right? And SPF, I think, is opening up the veil right now so we can all kind of check it out and see how this system really operates. And I think this goes right back to me losing everything, getting in this battle with our war hero from Vietnam up in Connecticut back in 2009. Bankman-Fried was already known as one of the largest donors to the Democratic Party. And we all know that, right? Donated $40 million. I think he was second to Soros. He claimed in a recent interview that he gave generously to Republicans as well. So all of the, you know, Republican people that are pointing at this saying, oh, Democrats, Democrats, Democrats. No, 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 no. No, don't even think for one moment that the Republicans are pure as the driven snow and the Democrats are just all evil liars. Absolutely not. They're all liars. They're all dregs of society. And when I mean all, I'm talking probably 99%. None of them have a moral North Star. They're all morally bankrupt. And how do you know this, George? Because what does it take to be a good politician and win? You have to lie constantly. You have to just tell people whatever they want to hear. You can't have any principles unless you're Ron Paul. And granted, there's a couple guys out there that I shouldn't be so hard on. But I'm talking about just in general here, especially at the federal level. At the state level, okay, I totally get it. And as you go down, as far as, you know, governor, mayor, sheriff, I think that the integrity and the character of the politicians would increase. So, and which makes sense, right? Because there's an inverse correlation between their character and their level of power. So as the power goes up, the integrity goes down. As the power goes down, the integrity goes up. Exactly what you would expect. And then this is very telling as well. SBF said reporters, talking about the mainstream media, freak the F out if you donate to Republicans. So you've got to donate to the Republicans kind of under the table. You got to buy them off and that's just important to buy off the Republicans as it is to buy off the Democrats. But you can't let the mainstream media know that you're buying off the Republicans, or else they accuse you of being, you know, racist, homophobic, whatever it is, because the mainstream media itself is so far on the left. And you know what I'm starting to call them is the alt-left. Because you'll notice that whenever they refer to the right, they never say that, right? They never say, oh, this person on the right. They always say, oh, the new PM or the new president of Italy, whatever, they're on the far right or they're alt-right. But yet when Petro down here in Colombia, who's a massive socialist. I mean, he's cut from the same cloth as Hugo Chavez, right? When he gets elected, the mainstream media never says, oh, someone on the far left. They just say, oh, there's this beautiful pink wave. And this person was elected that is on the left. So let's have the same journalistic standards for both parties here. And if you're going to say everyone on the right is the alt-right, then I'm going to go ahead and say everyone on the left is the alt-left, including the media. If anyone is alt-left, it would definitely be the mainstream media. But I think the big takeaway here is that behind the scenes, these people, these billionaires, they're paying off the Republicans just as much as they're paying off the Democrats. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.